Give them a clap. They did an amazing job. You know, it's very difficult, and you know, you spring things on them, and we can't always control what happens, and certainly we would like to control, and we had a element of our system go out, and unfortunately there's no words, and there's no words on the screen for you, but there's also no words on the screen in the back for our singers, and so sometimes they like to have a little bit of help, but they did an amazing job of, I'm just really proud, they know their songs really, really good, so that was a test for them as much as anything, but they did an amazing job, and I thank them so much for leading us in His presence this morning. Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. It just feels good, right? I feel like we're on like the cusp of fall. Maybe I'm just lying to myself because it's still like 100 degrees outside. But yesterday we saw like Jessica, she was already in the mood and she wanted to get her a pumpkin something like from Starbucks. Anything pumpkin is a good thing, right? And so we went to go to Starbucks, and like the line for Starbucks was wrapped out of the parking lot and out, and it was expanding into other parking lots just because people are ready for pumpkin spice season to begin. Some of you are already giving me a hand clap, you know, raising their hands, and we have touched a nerve there this morning. So I don't normally do this, but I'm so excited. We have a new guest this morning. We have a new baby with us this morning, and we're so happy to have Anthony and Crystal and their new little one here this morning with us. Would you guys just welcome her to her first ever Sunday service? We're so excited, man. You know, there's more than one way to grow a church. Thank you. The rest of y'all, no, never mind, I'm not going there. Amen. So we're going to continue this morning in our bona fide series, man. We're so excited. For those of you, I'll just remind you, if you haven't been here the whole time, that word bona fide, it's a little bit of an old school word, but I like it. For me, it's a Texas word. I was born and raised in Texas, and we got Texas words, or at least we claim them, because in Texas, everything is ours. And you know, we claim the word bona fide, and what the word bona fide means is real, authentic, genuine, sincere, without intention to deceive. And we've been talking over the last couple weeks how we want to have a bona fide faith. We want to have a real faith, a genuine faith, a faith that stands the tests of this world, that's proven, that's not counterfeit, that's more than just attendance on Sundays, but something that we can live out from Monday to Saturday, and that when trials come and temptations come, and James talks about that, we have the ability to stand firm in our faith. We want a sincere faith. We want a real faith. That's a faith that changes not only our life, but has the opportunity and has the potential to change the lives of everyone around us. And that's what our goal is to live a life of faith that inspires others that they would live a life of faith as well. That's our mission on this earth. Amen. And so we've been studying in the book of James. James is this wonderful book. It's the New Testament version of Proverbs is what many have called it, because it just has these incredible packed full of good stuff, paragraphs. James just kind of gets right to the point. He gets right to it, and it's this dense word. As you study the book of James, and I've talked to some of you that you're reading along with us, and you've made James your study and devotion for this month, and it's just amazing how there's just so much good and rich stuff that James is packing into this one letter. And where James is writing, he's writing to scattered Christians. After Acts 8, we see the martyr of Stephen and the murder there, and he's stoned to death. And we see some of the Christians scatter. And James is he's a pastor. He's the pastor of the first church of Jerusalem. And so he's writing to them as a pastor. He's writing to them to encourage them, but also to make sure that they stay connected to what is real, what is sincere, what is genuine. He wants to make sure that they don't, what he began to see was a little bit of a gap between what they were taught and what they started to live out in their everyday. And they were getting influenced by different people who were not staying true to what they had originally been taught, what the apostles, those who had been with Jesus, those who had had a revelation directly from Jesus, from the source, they were trying to remain true to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so James writes this letter, and I encourage you, it's an impactful letter. Go back, study it, as many of you have, and take notes, because there's a lot here that as we begin to apply this to our lives, as we begin to not just hear this word, but be doers of the word, as we begin to apply it, as we begin to walk the walk, as they say, it can have a tremendous impact on our everyday life. So our goal for this series is we want to live a bona fide life. And so today we're going to talk about something. We're going to be in James chapter 3, and we're not in the we don't have the words the scriptures this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and encourage you and let you know. Turn in your smartphones to James, the third chapter. And I'm going to be in the NLT for most of our translations, the New Living Translation, for those of you who aren't familiar with the NLT. And so that you can find it in your smartphone. But we're just going to be going through the first part of the third chapter of James. Amen. So we're going to talk this morning about bona fide words, the power of our words and what we say and how they impact our life. And I've learned in this life that there are three types of people. Number one, there's the type of people that they think before they speak. There's the type of people that they think while they speak. And then there's the type of people that they think after they speak. And as I'm saying that, I realize there are also a fourth type of person. That's the ones that they don't think at all. They just right off of the top of, and we've all met that person. And some of you are nudging that person, but no judgments here. And I've realized also that all three of these have gotten me in trouble in my life at different times. Even the, I try to do, be, wise, and I try to do things right and think before I speak. But how many of you know there's a time that can get you in trouble? Gentlemen, like when your wife comes home or when she's getting ready and she comes out and she says, "Do I look fat in this?" That's not the time to think before you speak. You just got to react, because if you pause too long, you're in trouble, right? Some of you leaving me hanging right there. But no, she doesn't want to hear an awkward pause right there. You need to just say, "Yeah, baby, you look beautiful. There's no way you could look fat." Like immediately, that's to be a default response. Amen, ladies? Amen. Don't tell me you want the truth. Don't act like you want the truth. You want us to tell you you look good all the time, right? But our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. In fact, James, the third chapter, this is the longest passage of the Bible that talks on this subject, that talks about our words and what we speak. And it's easy for us to recognize the power of our words. In fact, we live in an era in which everything you say can and will be used against you in the court of Twitter, right? Like the court of social media will try you if you say the wrong thing. And so your words are powerful. You make one little statement and all of a sudden you're going viral, as they say, right? Like you make one little deal and all of a sudden you've got friends giving you angry emojis and like all sorts of bad things and thumbs down, man. And that's just the worst, right? And so we understand that there is power in our words. In fact, in this modern era, in the last couple years, we've understood this more than anything. And finally, we've began to understand that the power of our words as children, as we've addressed subjects like bullying and even leading into adulthood, there's bullying and things like that in the workplace, in the office. And whereas maybe in previous generations, they just said, "Oh, well, that's just life. Life is tough. You have to, deal with it." We've began to realize that, no, words are powerful. Powerful, and they impact us in ways that are profound, and they direct the course of our lives. And so what we begin to speak ourselves also has the ability to impact and change the course of our life, both good and bad. And so this morning we want to look at, how do we harness the power of our words to have success in our life? How do we determine what to say, and how do we move through this life in a way that brings us good things and not bad things? We think back to James chapter 1, and it leaves off in James chapter 1. He makes this powerful statement in James chapter 1, verse 26. He says, "If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless." Now, that word religion there that he's used in the context of what they're using it means fearing or worshiping God. If you claim to worship God, if you claim to fear God, but you can't control what comes out of your mouth, then that is useless. There's no point in your worship. There's nothing to it. It is empty. It is a vacuum. There's nothing. It's just empty words. Because if you can't control your tongue when you leave the sanctuary, when you leave church, if you can't control your tongue, then what you did inside church means nothing. Whew, stunned silence right there. But we've all been there. And see, sometimes, and what he's saying here is, you know, it's not even an external circumstance that does it. It's you yourself that destroys your own religion. You're destroying your own faith. You're bringing your own self down. And I wonder how many times we are self-destructive with our words. How many times do we go through things that we blame on an external circumstance, and yet we brought it on ourselves? How many times do we want to focus on blaming the external problem, but it's the issue is the result of our own self-sabotage because of the things that we say, because of the things that we do. We want to blame our boss. We want to blame our family. We want to blame our parents and things, but really it's the words that are coming out of our mouth that are manifesting into what we see and what we do. And so this morning we want to look at three principles of bona fide words as we jump right in this morning, and we want to make sure that everything that we do, our speech and everything, is that which is edifying and glorifying and bona fide. We want to have real, genuine, and sincere speech. We want to have real, genuine, and sincere faith. So this morning, we want to look at three principles of bona fide words. Are you ready? Okay, I feel like I was talking like a lot right there. So I needed to pause and get a drink, if that's okay. Oh, thank you guys for allowing me to do that. So, number one, spiritual maturity is evidenced by your ability to control your words. I'll say that again. Spiritual maturity is evidenced by your ability to control your words. James 3:2 says this: indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. See, it's amazing there how he's linked how we speak and what we say to everything else in our life. And he doesn't say that we'll never make a mistake, but yet he, right under that, he says we would be perfect. The word perfect there is, James uses it, and he uses it in James the first chapter as well. When he says the word perfect, he's actually meaning mature. Maturity is what James is talking about. You will become mature in your faith. You'll become mature in your walk. He's talking about spiritual growth, going beyond, becoming mature, growing up, essentially, is what he's talking about. And what he's saying is, it's not that you're not going to make mistakes, but the marker, the sign that you're becoming mature, is that you can control your tongue. And if you can control your tongue, then everything else in your life can be controlled. It's amazing to think about that. That it affects so much of what you do. And we don't really think about that in our everyday and the things that we say. And in fact, we don't measure our words very often. We just kind of let it roll and react, right? We don't always think about the things that we're saying in the moment and how they impact. But James is saying they have tremendous impact. They impact everything. And they affect your spiritual maturity. And so if we want to become mature, we have to control our tongues. And James is bringing to light something that can easily become a stumbling block to our faith. It can easily become a stumbling block to our faith because negativity comes so easy to us. You've met those people, right? I'm not saying anybody in here, but you've met those people, and I have a hard time being around people that are negative. Anybody else share that? Like, I can't be around folks. I got one witness over here, like, yeah, I'm with you, Pastor. I just can't, man. It brings me down. Like, I need you to, like, be encouraging. I need you to lie to me. Maybe, okay, don't lie to me, but just, you know, just be encouraging. I need you to tell me something good. Tell me something positive. Like, I don't want to be around people who are negative. And the same thing, when I start talking negative, man, I go south really, really quick. But it becomes so easy, and destructive words come to us so easy. I think it's in our DNA. Like, it's just in our natural response, our human nature, whatever you want to call it. It's just like we're so good at pointing out the negative, right? We're so good at it. Man, it takes so much to get one compliment, man. But if you want to start, say one negative thing, and you'll have five other people that'll list off other negative things about whatever it is that you're talking about, right? Like, it just comes so naturally, it seems. And I know when I was younger, man, I had a serious problem. Like, serious problem, man. Like, I don't know if any, and I don't judge me for this or anything. Okay, maybe a little bit. But when I was younger, man, I used to love gossip. Like, how many of you, did you just love gossip? Like, I'm just admitting, I got an enthusiastic hands up in the back there. We'll pray for you later. Don't tell her anything at all. Like, nobody share secrets. But man, I used to love gospel. I would have to tear myself away from it. Even in the ministry, man. Like, it's hard because, you know, you'll be in like, you know who some of the worst gossipers are? Pastors. Like, we're some of the worst. I'm just telling on myself a little bit here. But man, you ever go to a pastor's convention? Ooh, that is good gossip. Like, that is, I just take a bowl and a spoon and just like, that's good stuff. Oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Yeah. Did you hear what his wife did? Ooh, yeah. Like, you know, and it's just, I mean, we just eat that stuff up. And when I was younger, man, I would have to actively pull myself away. Because I like it, man. I like that good gossip, and I like it. And it always made me feel a little bit better. When I heard that somebody else was doing bad, it always made me feel a little bit better. And it's like, oh, I'm not as bad as them. Now, see, I know that's none of you guys, but we're just talking about me here this morning, right? Like, that's nobody else in here. But, man, it made me feel a little bit better. I walked away thinking, I'm not as bad as that guy. Like, no matter what I do, I'm not that bad. And it was just good. It felt good. But ultimately, it was destructive in my life, because what began to happen is I would begin to gossip about them, and I would begin to draw comparisons. And it's easy to compare yourself with somebody that's doing bad, but then you also compare yourself to somebody that's doing good, and you feel worse about yourself. See, it's a destructive trap of the enemy, and we fall into it so easily. And it's like a drug that we just can't get enough of. And what happens is, it's our sinful nature that makes it so easy to see God's grace in our life, but it also makes it so easy to see the faults in other people's lives. And see, but you cannot grow, you cannot become spiritually mature when you're feeding that sinful nature. And what happens is, if I'm not careful, I begin to speak the negative words about other people, and it begins to corrupt me. And so while I'm pointing out their sins, I'm feeding mine. I'm destroying my faith. I'm destroying my witness. I'm destroying my testimony. I'm destroying the work of the Holy Spirit in me, because the Holy Spirit can't work through me while I'm speaking negative and speaking things about other people. Because it doesn't work like that, because pretty soon my religion is worthless. Nobody's going to believe what I have to say if what I have to say is always negative, if what I have to say is always pointing out other people's flaws and other people's sins. I mean, how would you feel if you're a pastor? How would you feel about a pastor who talked negative about people? How would you feel if you had a pastor that talked negative about you? You came and confided in me about something. You came and I ran over to the other person and said, hey, man, you got to hear what they did. I ain't never heard nothing like this. You know what I mean? Like, those people are crazy. Like, how would you feel about that? Like, that would be kind of head scratching, right? Like, I ain't telling that pastor anything. Like, pretty soon, there's nothing that I could say from the pulpit that would have any value, because you wouldn't believe and trust anything that I say. My religion would be worthless. My worship and my fear of God would be worthless, because I destroy it with the words that I speak. I destroy my spiritual maturity with the words that I speak. It's a trait of the immature to speak whatever comes to your mind. Think about it. Think about your kids. How many times have we been embarrassed by something our kids say? Constantly, right? Like, it's a nonstop, especially when they're little, especially when they're at that toddler age, like 4 years old, man. Like, they just say whatever comes to their mind. But that's a trait of the immature. I remember when we were on staff at a church. Actually, we were on staff at a church in Claremont. And Tyler was about 3 years old or so. And one of the members of the church came up and he's talking to us. And all of a sudden, and the guy had some dental issues. And so Tyler looks up and just, I mean, whatever comes to his mind, he just says, Tyler looks up and he goes, "What happened to his teeth?" Jessica and I, like, if we could have crawled under the carpet at that moment, we would have. And so we did like any good parent. We just leveraged it to warn him against stuff. We were like, he ate too much candy and he sinned, you know. Like, we just leveraged it, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta work with what you're given as a parent. But that's the sign that he didn't know any better. He was immature, so he just said what came to his mind. Now, hopefully, as he's grown and gotten older, he thinks a little bit. But so often, as adults, we just say what comes to our mind, and we wrap it around, oh, well, I just speak the truth. I just speak my mind. Well, nobody told you that was okay. Not only that, it's destroying you. It's hindering your ability to grow and become spiritually mature. And when we remain spiritual infants, when are you your most vulnerable? Are you your most vulnerable as an adult, a grown, mature adult that can defend yourself, or when you're an infant? See, you're most vulnerable when you're most immature. And that's when the enemy comes in and he takes and destroys your faith, and he destroys what God is trying to do in your life and your spiritual growth. And what's happened is it's easy for him to do, because we've done it to ourselves by the words that we speak, and we've poisoned our own self, and we've hindered our spiritual maturity. And so we lack maturity, and we say whatever, and we deal with whatever consequence. James is communicating to them, you cannot have spiritual growth without control. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, 25 or 65. We all struggle with this issue. We all struggle with the tongue. We all struggle with what we say and the words that we speak. So James is saying, no matter where you're at, if you're going to become spiritually mature, if you're going to grow in the way that God wants you to and have what he wants for your life, you're going to have to learn to control your tongue. But the good news is if we can control our tongue, it's going to open up doors in every other area of our life for control in our life. It's going to bring discipline to the rest of our life. If we can control our tongue, we can control everything, he says. We can control everything, but first we have to deal with this matter of the tongue. Number two, principles for bona fide words. Our words can light up or burn down our world. They can light up or burn down our world. See, the tongue is a small thing. In fact, it's disproportionately strong. In fact, you look at the tongue as just like the physiological muscle that it is. It is disproportionately strong compared to the rest of our muscles. You know, we have biceps and triceps, and some people's are bigger than others, and I don't need you flexing on me right now. I'm trying to get there. But, you know, some of them are bigger than others, but proportionally, the tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. I mean, it's amazing what it can do, and this small little muscle can control so much. And so much of what we do. And James is saying in James, the third chapter, it says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. And he's making this comparison of our tongue and the words that we say to these different things. Now, you think about, consider a horse. And I know I'm from Texas and everything, but I'm not necessarily like a horse guy. I'm not a horseman. I don't know how do you say that? Like, horseman? Does that work? Anybody just say yes so I can move on. You know, I'm not a horseman. I'm not, I didn't grow up on a farm or anything like that. I grew up around it. But But I've seen it. I've ridden a horse, and I understand the principle of what he's talking about here. But you have these great, big, huge beasts that are capable of so much, and they're capable of towing large amounts, and they're capable of, you know, a big old, like, you know, 200-ish pound guy sitting on them and taking off, and it's like nothing to them. They're so strong and incredible in their strength. But yet you put a little 4-ounce bit in their mouth and you can make that horse go wherever you want it to go. That the entirety of the strength of that horse is controlled by this little thing. The strength that it's in his legs and to run and do everything is stopped and halted by this bit in its mouth. And it's the same thing in our lives. The tongue is such a small thing, but it controls and directs all of our potential in life. See, all of the potential that God has placed in you and the strength that he's placed in you is controlled by this thing we call the tongue. And we have the ability to direct our lives either for the good or for the bad in it. And James is communicating that to us. In fact, he also compares it to the rudder of a ship in verse 4. We recently went on a... you guys know we recently went on a cruise ship, man. And man, those things are huge, right? These huge, massive, they're like floating cities. And it's amazing how you could have these huge, massive cruise ship, 3,000 people or something on it, and you can have water slides on it, and they've got everything that you could ever want, and they've got swimming pools everywhere, which is cool because you got like water on top of water, and it's just really cool. Although, if you ever get in one of those swimming pools on the cruise, oh, that's not good. Let me just tell you, those things are gross. That's just an aside. I'm sorry. But it's amazing how you could have these huge ships and everything, but yet it comes down to you go to the back of the ship, and it's got the turbines, and it's moving us along, and we're out in the ocean, but it's controlled by this little rudder at the back of it. Where that ship goes and where it directs all of these people and all of this activity and everything going on and these incredible turbines that are so powerful to power this ship are still controlled by this tiny rudder, which is tiny relative to the rest of the ship. And James is saying the same thing for our life. This small thing, our tongue, is so powerful that it directs where we go and what we do and what we see. And so the question then becomes this morning, who or what holds the reins or what directs the rudder in your life? What has a hold of the reins in your life? For some people, they have no hand on the reins or the rudder, right? We've met those people. They just kind of fly off the handle. Whatever happens, we've all worked with that person. We've all volunteered in a ministry with that person. They just kind of say whatever comes to their mind. And sometimes it's funny and we laugh, but ultimately, you know, we stay away from that person because we never know what they're going to say. And heaven forbid we ever say anything to them. We know that they're just going to say whatever comes to their mind, and they have no hand, no reins on the rudder. Others, they direct their tongue from their emotions or from aspects of their carnal nature. How many of you know that so often we are emotional creatures, and so often emotions play into what we do, but how many of you know that your emotions will lie to you? They lie to you all the time. They try to get you to react and to do things that aren't real, and we can get angry over something and we can lash out in a moment that wasn't real. In fact, if we allow our emotions to direct what we say, there's no telling what can come out. You think about how you speak when you're emotional. I think about just how I talk when I get, like, there's this emotion between hungry and angry. You guys know it. It's called, yeah, you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, you let me get hangry, and all of a sudden, I'm going to say a few things that maybe I wouldn't have said otherwise. Like you guys are looking at me like, yeah, you let this run much past 12 and you're going to see hangry, brother. Like, and so I understand. So, but if we let emotions, which are a temporary circumstance, direct the permanence of our lives, you never know where you're going to end up. You don't have a course and a direction that leads you to any place positive. because we're always dependent upon whatever emotion pops up, and we don't control our emotions always. Our emotions are very often controlled by external circumstance. So when we can't control the external circumstance, then we can't control the emotion and how we're going to react to it. Then we have no control whatsoever on our lives, because we just react and we say with emotion instead of with purpose and what God has for us. James is pointing us towards having the Spirit of God working through the new man, set directing hands on the reins and the rudder that is our tongue. James is moving us to this spiritual place to say, hey, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to get involved in your life and let them take the reins of your tongue. Let them take the reins of your purpose. What you say determines what you see. See, in a cruise ship or a ship or whatever, when the rudder turns, depending on which way it turns, that determines what view you have in the front. See, what you say determines what you see. Whatever you want to see in your life will be determined by the words that you speak. And if you continue to speak negativity, if you continue to speak things that are destructive in your life, well, then all you're ever going to see is destructive. And for some of you, that's where you're at this morning. You see nothing but destruction and negativity and things in your life. But we have to go back and say, well, what is it that I'm speaking? Because what you say determines what you see, and the words you speak direct the future of your tomorrow. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 21, says this: the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. We're going to reap the consequences. We're going to reap good consequences. We're going to reap bad consequences. It can light up or burn down our world. And then James says it this way. He says in the 3rd chapter, verse 5 through 6, he says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Wow. Like, that's intense, James. Like, that's a lot to take in. But the reality is that so often we see these negative consequences. We see this destruction in our life. We see this played out every single day, that words can destroy our life. Words can destroy a ministry. Words can set on fire everything that we love and hold dear. See, we know this analogy that James is using. We know it very well, right, in Florida. Like, we deal with things like wildfires, right? And we know that we have to be so careful during certain months and seasons of the year when it's the dry season, and especially up in North Florida and some of these areas. And we understand that, I mean, all it takes is one little ember, right? One little ember, one little cigarette flipped out the window on the highway. One person who didn't quite get the last little ember or coal from a campfire put out. There's a commercial, there's a person, Smokey, right? Smokey warns us. Smokey, yeah, man, Smokey the Bear, man. Only you can prevent forest fires, man. Let me tell you, only you can prevent the fires in your life. That's some wisdom from Smokey the Bear right there. You just didn't even know. You didn't know you were going to come in and get some wisdom from Smokey. Only you can prevent the fires in your life. Only you can prevent the destruction that comes in your life. Only you can prevent these things. Words are so powerful. One little word, one little thing has the ability to destroy your work. It has the ability to destroy your job. One little word to the wrong person, right? We say one thing, the boss says something to us. I remember when I was, I tell a lot on myself, I shouldn't, but I do. But I remember when I was working somewhere, I will not say where, but I was working, and the boss, he was just one of those guys that he was always like on you all the time. In fact, the rest of my workers and everything, we had a nickname for him. We called him Pac-Man, because he was always just chomping on my tail. Shouldn't have said that. But he was just nonstop. He's always, and I'm just the kind of person that I let things kind of build up, and then there's this point where I can't take it. And then he was just getting on to me, and he was just, you know, doing his thing. And he was, that is not a gator chomp, just so you guys know. I had no dog in that fight last night, but hey, you know, happy for those that feel good today, I guess. But anyway. But he came, and he's just yelling at me, and he's giving me a hard time, and I couldn't take it anymore. And so finally, I yelled back, said, "Stop yelling at me. You're not my daddy." Apparently, that was the wrong thing to say. That was not received well, because his next words were, "You're right, but you're fired." See, it destroyed my work. It destroyed my job. And I had a wife, and I had a kid, two kids at the time. And I didn't know what I knew, and I didn't have a plan and anything. But next thing you know, I'm fired because of one little word. One little thing. See, words can destroy your work. The boss doesn't promote he never promotes the negative person who stirs up trouble in the office. He never promotes that person who complains about the company. Who every time they're in the break room, they're talking about how, you know what, if I was the boss, I would do things so differently. That person rarely gets the promotion. The person that gets the promotion is the one that's always speaking positive things. You know what, boss man, I'm with you. What do you need me to do? You know what, I think, you know, I want to encourage you. If we could do this, I'll help you with it. That's the person that the boss wants to go to war with. That's the person that the boss needs in their camp. That's the person that the boss wants to promote and see them be successful. It's the person that's with them that's speaking things that are positive and positivity into the future. Words can be destructive in our home. You think about the things that we say, and if we're not careful, we can become destructive. We can become bullies in our home, especially men. We struggle with this so much because we deal with those temperaments and those things of anger that get on us as men. And we come home from a long day of work or whatever we're doing, and we just want to relax and rest. And suddenly the kids are there, and they're yelling about something, and the wife is upset about something. And next thing you know, we're yelling for no reason. And it becomes destructive in our home. It becomes destructive to our children when we speak words over them, and it's painful to think, but sometimes we don't even think about it. We think, are you so stupid? We say things like that, and it just, for us, it's just words, but for our kids, it's something that's shaping and molding them. See, God has called us as men, as fathers, and as women, as mothers, and everything to shape and mold our kids into what they can be, not to be overly like little Tommy and Timmy never does any wrong, but to make sure that we tell them you are loved by God, you are a child of God, you can do all things are possible, Lord, if you have faith. See, God is calling us to speak words of life in our home, over our children, over our marriage. How many times do we speak destruction over our marriage? We say things like, I don't know why I even married you. I don't even know why we're even together anymore. You know what? Or we're speaking or confiding in a friend. You know what? We're done. This marriage is over. It's finished. There's no hope for it. See, we're speaking destruction. We're speaking negativity. We're speaking these things into our life. And what we say is what we see. As we begin to speak these things more and more, they begin to stir in our heart, and they become part of us and who we are, and they begin to direct our life. We can be destructive even to ourselves. How many times do we speak destructive words over our own self? What you say about yourself matters. Henry Ford said this, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Think about that for a second. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. See, so often we tell ourselves what we can't do. We tell ourselves what we aren't. We tell ourselves what we're not made of. We tell other people, oh, I could never do that. I could never get up on stage and speak. I could never, no, I'm just too, I have too much fear. I have too much anxiety. We tell ourselves that we're going to be depressed. We tell ourselves that we need certain things in our life. That was never God's plan. That we need medications. And I'm not against prescriptions and medications and things like that when necessary. But sometimes, It's a matter of we are telling ourselves that we have to have those things. And we're creating circumstances in our life by which we do have to have them, but we never needed them because we could always choose joy. We could always speak the words of life that God has given us and his word. See, too often we speak words of destruction over our own lives. See, it becomes the rudder that moves and shapes us. And what we say becomes what we see. And lastly, as the musicians come, your words reveal what's in your heart. People can tame all kinds of, James, the third chapter, 7 through 12, says this, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. The tongue can't be tamed. I remember when a couple years ago, you know, he's talking about these birds and things like that that, you know, people can tame, but you can't tame the tongue. But I remember a couple years ago, we had an animal in our house that could not be tamed. We decided that we were going to adopt, we bought a dog. It was like a really expensive dog. It was a really expensive boxer. Like, it was supposed to be like bread, this, that, and then papers and whatever. And we spent all this money to get this incredibly well-bred boxer puppy that was the most, the dumbest dog I've ever met in my life. It was just the dumbest dog. And we spent so much money. We took that dog to obedience school. The dog flunked out of obedience school. Like, even the trainer lady, who's one of those, like, real granola earth kind of people, and she was all about the puppies and everything. And she was just like, you know, every dog is a special, you know, snowflake. And she's like, I don't know what to do with this dog. And she had no answer for us. Like, you could not tame this dog at all. So we gave it back to the breeder and said, you sold us a bad dog. Sometimes the tongue just cannot be tamed. There's nothing you could do with it. You're going to speak. You're going to say things. But the difference is we can control what it is that comes out. We can control what we say in those moments. We can control how we react. In Luke, the 6th chapter, verse 45, it says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you are full of determines what comes out. What you fill your spirit with determines what comes out. If you're filling your spirit with negativity, if you're filling your spirit with things of the world and things that are temporary and things that, if you're listening to those people at work that just won't shut up and stop complaining and stop being negative and everything, if you're constantly listening to that and filling your spirit with that, that's what's going to come out. It's like this water right here. I can't knock this water over and expect that sweet tea is going to spill out. That'd be pretty cool. I'm going to be honest. If Jesus could give me one miracle, he turned water into wine. If I could turn water into sweet tea, that'd be pretty awesome. But no matter how much I try, no matter how many times I knock it over, the only thing that's going to come out of this right here is water, because that's what's inside of it. And when you're filling yourself with all these other things, when you're not filling yourself with the Spirit, when you're not filling yourself with God's Word, then nothing good is going to come out. See, we can't control the tongue, but we can control what flows out of it. If you're not sure what is flowing out of you this morning, I encourage you to, you can do what I call the traffic test. And in fact, if you're single and you want a good way to test like the person that you're interested in, like if you start dating a person, this is a good marriage test as well, all right? This is what I call the traffic test. So what you do is you get in the vehicle with that person and you let them drive and you start on I-4 about Sand Lake or Turkey Lake Road. By Maitland, you're gonna know whether or not you can marry that person. You're gonna know what's inside of you real quick. Like the first time that somebody is trying to merge into traffic, but then they're slowing down, but then they're speeding up and they're like stopping and starting and everything. And you're just like, would you please? I'll be honest, a little bit of a struggle. I avoid I-4 for that reason. But what is inside is what's gonna flow out. Good things will flow out of a good heart. God things flow out of a godly heart. Spiritual things flow out of a spiritual heart. Somebody who's been in the Word, been in the Scriptures. That's what flows out. Galatians 5:22-23 says this, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are allowing the Spirit to operate in our life. We can have self-control. We can let love, we can let joy, we can let these things be evident in our life. That's what begins to flow out. And it begins to change the world around us. Surrendering control to the Holy Spirit and not giving yourself permission to just say whatever comes to your mind. The self is destructive. It hinders your ability to influence and hinders how God wants to use you. But the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, to change our heart, we surrender control of what we say to the Holy Spirit, and we no longer say, I can just say whatever I want, but we can only say that which the Holy Spirit allows us to say, that which is edifying, that which is lifting up others. It begins to change the world around us. It begins to change the influence that we have with other people. When they begin to see joy and peace, they begin to see a faith that's real. They begin to see a faith that doesn't just show up on Sunday, but Monday when you go into work. That's the kind of people that other people want to be around. That's the kind of people that you don't even have to invite people to church because they just want to come be and give whatever it is that you got because you're always positive. You're always speaking life. You're always speaking good things. You're always speaking joy over your life. And some of you, it's time for you to start speaking life. See, the same Spirit that we're talking about, this Spirit of God, is the same Spirit that was in Christ. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse, famous passage of Scripture here, Paul says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. The same Spirit that brought Jesus Christ back to life, the same Spirit that when Jesus spoke, when Lazarus was dead for 4 days in a tomb, Jesus spoke and he came walking out. That same Spirit that brings life can allow you to speak life into any situation in circumstance that you might face. It's time for you to start speaking life. Stop speaking lies. It's time for you to start speaking life to your marriage. It's time for you to start speaking life to your kids. No longer are you going to speak that your kids are going to be average and that they're going to be lucky to graduate high school and they're going to be broke their whole life. No longer. You're going to start speaking life into their life. You know what? You are the anointed of God. You are a child of God. You are anointed of God. You are special. You can be anything that God's called you to be. See, we're going to start speaking life over our children. We're going to start speaking life over our marriages. It's not over. See, it's not over. If death itself could not contain this Spirit, then it's not over. See, it's time for some of you to start speaking life over your kids. It's time for some of you to start speaking life over your fears, over your anxieties. No longer am I going to walk in depression.
Lord, I choose joy. I'm going to speak joy. And it doesn't matter if you have to get up every single morning. I'm telling you, I've been there. Where the enemy tried to come at me with his lies, and he kind of tried to come at me, and he had to try to get me to tell him and tell everybody else how depressed I was and how bad things were and how there was no hope. And I felt the Spirit of God come over me and say, you know what? No more. Enemy, no more. I'm going to stop spreading your lies over my life. And I don't care if it feels fake right now. I don't care if I'm going through the motions. Every single day, I'm going to wake up and say, you know what? I choose joy today. Today, I choose joy. Today, I'm not going to be depressed. Today, no longer, enemy, are you going to have control over my life? I speak the words of life. And the Spirit of Christ that's in me, that has overcome the grave, has the power to change every situation. We sang about it earlier. Jesus changes everything. And as we begin to speak the words of life, it can change every situation that you go through, every circumstance, everything that you're facing, everything that the enemy tries to torment you with daily, that he tries to get you to speak your own destruction into existence. It can turn just like that with the words of life and the Spirit of Christ this morning. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death. Speak life this morning, whatever your circumstance. Quickly, as I close, three things that will help us to control our tongue. Number one, pause. Silence is okay. If we take a moment, whatever the enemy tries to tell you or whenever somebody comes at you or whatever the circumstance is, if we just take a moment and pause. Secondly, if we take a moment to ponder, think about it. Discover what's true, because so often the enemy is trying to lie to you, and there's so many things that get stirred up in your life and things that we don't even know if it's even true or not. We're reacting to things that never happened, that it was never that way. Your friend really didn't say that, or they didn't mean it in that way or whatever. And yet the enemy would have you to speak destructive things, to burn down bridges and relationships that are godly relationships, and godly relationships with churches and with our church family, to tear apart and to tear our strength apart. But we have to stop and think and say, hey, what's true here and what's the lie of the enemy? And lastly, and most importantly, pray. Pray. Psalm 19:14, he says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That should be our prayer. Lord, let what I say, even in just a moment, even in just the moments in our life and in our workplace and as we are at home with our family later on and whatever we say, Lord, let the meditations of my heart be pleasing. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. This morning, God is speaking to some of you. The situations that you're going through, whatever it is that it might have plagued you just for the last couple weeks, or maybe you've been going through some things for years. Maybe the enemy's been lying to you for years. Maybe the enemy's been telling you that been devaluing you, saying that you could never do anything for him. It's time for you to start walking in your calling. It's time for you to start walking in your gifting and saying, you know what? God has created me for a purpose, devil. And it's not the purpose that everybody else sees, but it's his purpose. And I am a success when I walk in his purpose. And it's time for you to start speaking life and not destruction over each and every situation that you face. I want to pray for you this morning. And I understand this is a word that we take home with us, and it's one of those things that it's so powerful if we could just get a hold of, if you could understand it, because I know that the moment we leave here, the enemy's going to come at you and say, you know what? None of that stuff is real. That's all just preacher talk. That all just sounds good. That's just Bible talk. I'm telling you, the moment you leave here, you know what? Nothing can really change in your life. Your job situation, it can't really change. You think that just by saying some positive things, you think that by changing a few things, that this can make a difference. I know the enemy's going to come at you and he's going to lie to you, because he has been for so long and he is the father of lies. See, you have to remember, no, I'm going to speak life. I don't care if it feels fake. I don't care what it be. I am going to speak life. I am going to get in this word. I'm going to read what God says about me and what he has for me and the promises that he has for my life. And that's what I'm going to stand upon, and that's what I'm going to speak. And if I have to keep doing that every day and every day, and as they say, if I have to fake it till I make it, that's what I'm going to do, because I'm not going to destroy my own life with my own words. This morning, I just want to pray for you that the attacks of the enemy, that you'll remember that you have the ability of life and that you can speak life in your situation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for your word this morning. God, it is a powerful word. God, I thank you for the blessing of the gospel. Lord, I thank you for the blessing of this Bible. Lord, that you have given us these instructions. Lord, that, you know, whether we choose to heed them, whether we choose to follow them or not, that's our choice. But Lord, if we would follow your word, Lord, the life that we could have and the things, the good things that you have for our life and the plans that you have to prosper us, Lord, and we will still go through things, but God, we go through them with you, Lord God. We don't go through them alone. And God, I just pray right now that, Lord, whatever situation that we have going on and whatever we're dealing with, God, that we would have the strength to say, you know what, I'm going to choose to believe what God's word says. I'm going to choose to believe what scripture says, and I'm going to begin to just speak the words of life. I'm going to begin to speak the words of truth. No longer am I going to allow the enemy to speak lies over my life, and I'm no longer going to speak those things over my own self or my own family or my own situations, but I'm going to choose to speak life. And Lord, I'm just going to see what'll happen as I choose to speak life over each and every situation. This morning, we speak life over this church, God. Lord, you have anointed this church. You have called this church. You have brought us together as a family of believers. And God, I pray that there would be no hindrance or destruction, that, Lord, we would not get caught up in things of speaking words against one another and bickering as churches do. But Lord, that we would speak life and we would encourage one another. And we would spur one another on to good deeds. And that we would see people come in as a result of our words and our faith, Lord God. And they would receive you as a result, and they would receive your son, Jesus Christ. And God, I just pray that you would help us, Lord, God, to speak the words of life everywhere that we go. God, to invite people to come and to hear and to learn about you. And Lord, in all things, we give you praise. We give you thanksgiving. We give you honor. And Lord, we thank you for your word that is true this morning. God, we ask that you would just cement it in our heart, that, Lord, we would meditate on it daily, God. God, and out of our hearts would just flow, God, the words of your spirit. And we careful to give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Would you give God just a hand clap of just praise and thankfulness for his word this morning? Amen.